KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have variably cloudy skies, actually partly sunny skies, and we have 68 degrees. We look for it to be variably cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms redeveloping this afternoon, a high of 83. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In area news, police in Creston say four people were arrested on separate charges over the past few days. At around 4:30 a.m. Sunday, 43-year-old Jason Post of Creston was arrested at his home for possession of a controlled substance and possession of paraphernalia. His bond at the Union County Jail was set at $1,000. Saturday evening, 25-year-old Maya Caron of Belton, Missouri, was arrested in Creston on two Union County warrants for possession of paraphernalia and possession of a controlled substance. Caron was released from custody on a promise to appear later in court. Friday evening, 28-year-old Brooke Carter of Creston was arrested for trespassing. She was released on a $300 bond. And Friday morning, 39-year-old Demian Garrison of Creston was arrested at his home for domestic abuse in the third degree. His bond was set at $2,000. Creston police said also there were four incidents of theft or vandalism over the weekend. On Saturday, a vehicle's license plates and taillights were spray-painted over while the vehicle was parked in the 100 block of South Broad Street. And someone spray-painted the driver's side door of a vehicle parked in the 100 block of South Spruce Street in Creston. On Sunday, a person from C&J Construction reported to Creston police that someone stole a pole of used copper pipe placed near a dumpster at a construction site in the 400 block of West Clark Street. That same day, a resident of the 600 block of Mulberry Street in Creston reported a window was broken out of a truck parked at a woman's residence and a bag of clothes inside was stolen. Altogether, the damages amount to $600 and the losses totaled $600. In state news, two firefighters were treated and released, and one person was rescued from a fire that destroyed a Tama building Saturday night in Burlington. David Hightower reports from Burlington.
The initial call was made at 10:55. Burlington firefighters arrived within 4 minutes of that call and began rescue efforts to save a woman that was trapped on the third floor of the building. She was uninjured and able to climb down a ladder under her own power. Witnesses say she was pulled from the building wearing only undergarments. It's unclear why she was in the unoccupied building or if she was working with the crew on renovations. Her identity so far has not been released.
The fire department says the building is a total loss and unstable due to the partial collapse. The cause of the blaze has not yet been determined. Authorities say the body of a small child was recovered from the Mississippi River in southeast Iowa. It was pulled from the water last night near Brown's Island at Riverside Park in Muscatine. Authorities would not comment on whether the body was that of 2-year-old Hawk Newberry, who fell into the water July 24th from a dock at the Schwiebert Riverfront Park in Rock Island, Illinois. The boy had been fishing with his family. Authorities say the body of a young woman was found in southeast Iowa is not that of a missing University of Iowa student. The body was found early Sunday morning in rural Lee County, about 5 miles southwest of West Point. Special Agent Rick Ron of the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation said that officials have confirmed the body is not that of Molly Tibbetts, who has been missing since July the 18th. Ron said investigators have identified the body and are contacting the next of kin. Her name and the circumstances surrounding her death haven't been released yet. Lee County is about an hour away from Brooklyn, where 20-year-old Tibbetts was last seen. The reward for her safe return has risen to $260,000. Crime Stoppers of Central Iowa said Sunday that the relatives of 20-year-old Molly Tibbetts believe she's still alive but has potentially been kidnapped. Spokesman Greg Willie said the family hopes the reward money of $260,000 will lead to her return. Investigators are being tight-lipped about the case, saying holding back basic details may help to solve her disappearance, and that includes whether they believe Tibbetts returned home from a jog the evening she went missing. Wiley says that Crime Stoppers will protect the anonymity of tipsters who call in or submit tips online. He says the organization has shared more than 200 anonymous tips with the law enforcement since last Monday. Elsewhere in the news, four Shelby County residents have been appointed to the Iowa State University Extension and Outreach Council Nominating Committee. The committee is charged with nominating candidates for the five vacancies on the council before August 29th. Committee members selected to nominate Extension Council candidates for the 2018 election are Darren Goshorn, Cindy Hansen, Clara Veith, and Joe Walling. By law, the nominating committee must include two women and two men and cannot include any current member of the council. The committee is required to take county geography into consideration when nominating the candidates. Terry Malloy, director for the Iowa Extension Council Association, said serving as an Extension Council member is one way to give back to your community. If you believe local educational opportunities are vital to the community's well-being, then you should consider running for the council. It's rewarding, he says, because to know that people are able to improve their lives, farms, and businesses and communities because of ISU Extension and Outreach Education and Information. Candidates nominated by the committee must submit petitions containing the names of 25 qualified voters to the county election commissioner by 5 p.m. on August 29th. Additionally, individuals may petition to have their names placed on the ballot through a self-nominating process by submitting petitions with 25 names to the election commissioner. Petition forms are available from the election commissioner in Shelby County and the county extension office. Voters will cast ballots for the nominees in the November 6th general election. Successful candidates will serve four-year terms beginning in January of 2019. Beginning today, Fred Hubbell, Democratic nominee for governor, and Rita Hart, state senator and Democratic nominee for lieutenant governor, will launch a statewide tour to meet with mental health providers and Iowans affected by the ongoing mental health crisis. Organizers say the tour will highlight the Hubbell-Hart commitment to investing in mental health care across urban and rural Iowa. As part of the tour, Senator Hart will take part in a Shelby County Rural Mental Health discussion tomorrow beginning at 2 o'clock at Rosa Blanda Farms. That same day, Fred Hubbell will participate in a Pottawatomie County Mental Health Roundtable at the Council Bluffs Public Library, second floor meeting room number D, beginning at 2:30 p.m. According to the Treatment Advocacy Center, in 2016, Iowa ranks dead last in the number of psychiatric treatment beds available per capita and the 47th in the number of psychiatrists licensed to provide care. The Hubbell campaign says, unlike Governor Reynolds, who has not only failed to address the mental health crisis, but cut mental health funding, Fred and his wife Charlotte have personally helped to fund increasing mental health beds and adding two new psychiatrists at Broadlawn's Medical Center. Following a statewide mental health tour with patients and providers last summer, the Hubbell campaign released a substantive mental health plan to invest in community-based treatment, including adding 50 to 75 long-term care beds, establishing a youth mental health system, and investing in diversion and substance abuse programs. Iowa Senator Charles Grassley will hold two area town meetings this week as part of his annual 99-county meetings. Grassley will be in Audubon County on August the 7th, that's tomorrow, and Adams County this Thursday, August the 9th. On Tuesday, he'll be at the Audubon County town meeting from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. at the Audubon County Economic Development Corporation, and on Thursday at the Adams County town meeting in Corning at the Corning Opera House from 3:45 to 4:45 p.m. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nagy is encouraging Iowans to take advantage of fresh fruits and vegetables available at the more than 200 farmers markets in the state as part of National Farmers Market Week, which runs now through next Saturday. Nagy said farmers markets are a great place to find Iowa-grown fruits, vegetables, meats, and other products. This is the time of year when our markets are packed with fresh, delicious local foods, he says, and he encourages everyone to participate in National Farmers Market Week by visiting one of the markets in our state and supporting the farmers who are there. Donna Brahms, president of the Iowa Farmers Market Association, also encourages everyone to visit their local farmers markets. She says Iowa's farmers markets continue to have great success, and many local markets are holding special events this week. The Iowa Farmers Market Association encourages everyone to visit and shop their local farmers market. As part of National Farmers Market Week, NAG highlighted the WIC Farmers Market Nutrition and Senior Farmers Market Nutrition programs. Those programs provide eligible low-income seniors, as well as women and children in Iowa, with checks that can be redeemed for fresh, locally grown produce at authorized farmers markets and farm stands from June the 1st through October 31st. The Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship administers the programs in partnership with the Iowa Department of Public Health and Iowa Department on Aging. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.